If you or someone you love struggles with a gambling addiction, please call 1-800-GAMBLER today. And please, gamble responsibly. Hello, everyone, and welcome into another episode of Sports Betting by Dummies. I am your host, Patty Parlays, and with me as always is Diz. Diz, how's it going, buddy?
It is great. I'm feeling myself. I'm all the way back. Let's go. I'm juiced for the Open. Let's go.
Awesome. And joining us for the first time in a while, Dirty Mike. Dirty Mike, what's up?
How's it going, boys?
Good. Glad to have you back.
I come and go.
You come for horse racing and golf, and that's about it.
That's about it. That's right.
Probably the two hardest sports to bet on, if I had to say.
That is, yes.
That makes me feel good because I don't think I've actually won a bet yet. So,
well, exactly. And because you're picking the two hardest sports, you probably think sports betting is dumb and there's no money to be made. But that's neither here nor there.
Well, I got a non-horse bet or golf coming up today. So I'm feeling good about my first
Look at this guy. We got a little tease there. So, but anyways, there's kind of two topics for today. NBA Finals Game 4 and the Open Championship. Diz, I will let you choose which one we talk about first.
I think we start with the NBA because I'm not an expert, but I have some thoughts.
Okay, perfect. We'll go there. So Game 4 is tonight in the NBA playoffs, Suns versus Bucks. Suns lead the series 2-1, and flat out the Suns just have no answer for Giannis. So my question to you, Diz, is if you are the Suns, then do you just let Giannis eat and just lock down everyone else?
No, that's why they lost Game 3.
I disagree. So
why did they lose Game 3 other than the fact that they shot like shit?
Because Giannis scored 40?
Thank you.
Giannis scored 40 in the games that the Bucks lost. The issue isn't Giannis scoring 40, I don't think. I think there's two things. Number one, in Game 3, Devin Booker had his worst performance in the playoffs this season. He scored 10 points, and that was it.
Yeah, not great.
Not great. The Bucks outshot the Phoenix Suns from three. But the other factor is Drew Holiday scored 21 points, and Chris Middleton scored 18 points. And then even Bropez scored 11 and Bobby Portis scored 11 and then Pat Connaughton scored 8. Some of those people should not be scoring that amount of points, especially if Giannis scores 40.
I mean, that's not a nuts game for anyone you just said.
Like Drew Holiday should not score 21.
Drew Holiday can ball,
but he should not score 21.
What's his season average?
All right. Keep talking. Cause I'm going to go find that real quick. But
20.8.
No.
No cap. I'm just saying, those guys can ball. It wasn't like, oh, Chris Middleton put up 30. Okay, then your point makes sense. But like 21 and 18, like those are good games from a 2 and a 3 in a playoff series, in my opinion.
All right, let's see here. What team are we talking about? Milwaukee Bucks.
The Bucks? This is your segment, bro. Get it together.
Yeah. So in the playoffs, Drew Holiday is averaging 17.4 points. So not...
That's what I'm saying!
Not totally crazy, but I will say this.
That's one shot away from 21 points, Pat.
Yeah, I'm aware. But I think the thing that is interesting is Drew Holiday was averaging 2 3-pointers made per game, and he made 5 in Game 3. I think you lock down Drew Holiday, you lock down Chris Middleton, and you just let Giannis eat. I mean, no one can stop Giannis. Why try to foul him or get into foul trouble, and then that hurts your team? Let him do his thing. He's not going to score more than 50 points. And then just lock down everyone else.
I don't know, man. If on your side of the story about Giannis is going to eat either way, then I think they lost Game 3 because they didn't shoot very well. But you can't say they lost Game 3 because Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday scored 4 more points than they normally do. Because that's not
right.
Really-
that's correct.
So I get your point, but at the same time, like, if you don't have an answer for Giannis, like, this is going to go 6 or 7.
Yeah, yeah, probably. But some key players to kind of keep an eye on for tonight, if you're looking at some possible same game parlays or some player props. So like I said, Devin Booker, he had his worst game of his postseason last game, only scoring 10 points. I expect a big comeback game from him tonight. And then kind of a little sneaky tidbit here. If you think this game will be a blowout like it was in game 3, then you should look for the reserve players for good value. For example, Frank Kaminsky, I don't think he's played more than like 2 minutes all season. He came in and he scored 6 points and had 4 rebounds. In these playoffs, he was averaging 1.8 points and 1.3 rebounds. I didn't actually see what you could have gotten, like his over-under on points or whatever was, but I imagine that if you would have said he scored 5+ points and had 4+ rebounds, I imagine you made some good value on that.
Do you think it'll be a blowout?
I don't. I could see it going either way. I could see a blowout like it was in game. I either think the Bucks win by like 20 like they did, or the Suns win by 2. I think if it's a close game, I think the Suns pull it out. But if it's a blowout, I think the Bucks are the ones that are on that side of it.
Gotcha. That makes sense, but I just don't know if you can bank on a blowout. But I mean, I love it. If it is a blowout, you gotta cash in on that value.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm personally staying away from it, but I think I saw some crazy value on that in game 3. So just something to kind of keep an eye on. And usually if lightning strikes in a game that you were betting on or looking at and you try to repeat that the second game, it usually doesn't happen. Kind of like when I bet Devin Booker to hit the triple double, he did, and then the next game he didn't even get close to it. So, you know, I wouldn't expect it to happen again, but it's just something you might look for if you're looking for some good value.
For sure.
And I have some bets on this game coming up later in the episode, so I'm not going to say who I want to win or any player props or anything like that. If you boys don't have anything coming later in the episode, like for your best bets, if you want to pick a side, I believe the Bucks are 4.5-point favorites.
That is correct. I checked right before the pod because I didn't have anything planned, so I did a little cramming before the pod started.
And so are you picking a side or are you saving it for best bets?
I do have a best bet, but I'll save it.
Okay.
I don't do best bets, so I'll go ahead and give my 3 cents here.
Yep.
So first off, Bucks all the way. I'm not betting on Bucks in this game, but I bet on the Bucks with a playoff start at +800. So
riding that
high. I'm gonna say you guys can let Giannis, whatever it is. I always say his name wrong. You can let him score 40 because that means they'll win. So Pat, I'm all for your system. Just let him run wild so I can finally cash in on a bet. But I've had them since the playoffs started. My other one is the Taco Bell comeback boost from FanDuel.
Oh, love it. Absolutely love it.
I got the boost, so it's at +350. If the team trailing at halftime wins, and it can be either team. So, yeah, it's going to be a close game. Halftime score doesn't matter. And then it's also called the Taco Bell comeback boost, so if it hits, I'm buying you boys a chili cheese burrito.
I believe if it hits, everyone gets free tacos anyway, so we might have to double up on that.
Well, I think it's like the spicy one, so you'll probably bust out that bad.
Yeah, definitely out on that then, yeah.
But yeah, me and Diz can get a free spicy, and I'll buy a chili cheese burrito for you boys.
Oh, perfect. Love it.
We had too many listeners for me to buy it for everybody, but...
Love it. Don't lose that confidence. And Mike, if you're really feeling yourself, you can get a player performance double. Giannis to score 40+ points in Milwaukee to win at +420.
Nah, he's only going to score 37 and they're still going to win.
Well, then if you want Giannis 35 points plus in Milwaukee to win, you get that at +200. So
I already gave you my bet, Pat.
I'm just letting you know there's other options out there. All right. Moving on. Open Championship. This is what bringing all the boys to the yard. So it is being played at Royal St. George's. It is the fourth and final major of the golf season. It has been hosted here 14 times throughout history. The last time it was here was in 2011. Darren Clark, we all know who Darren Clark is, right? He won after beating out Dustin Johnson and Phil Mickelson. So some notable odds here. When I looked at it this morning, John Rahm at plus 800. Xander Schauffele at plus 1,800. Brooks Koepka plus 1,600. I've heard a lot of people like Brooks this week. Rory at plus 2,200. Justin Thomas at plus 1,800. And my mom's boy Spieth at plus 1,800. Diz and Dirty Mike. I guess Mike doesn't do best bets, but Diz, do you? Is your picks for this in the best bets section?
I have some long shots and I have a best bet. I'll go ahead and tell you my long shots if that's kosher.
Yep.
Stewart Cink has already won twice on the PGA Tour this year.
Yep.
And like his most five recent starts are all top 20. Yep. So Stewart Cink at like 110 to 1 is nuts to me. Especially in like a British Open, like it doesn't. Wouldn't surprise me to see a lot of veterans on top of the leaderboard. So, like, a top 10 value pick is huge for Stewart Cink, I think. And just also, like, Louis Oosthuizen also playing really well. He has four starts this year. All four are top 20. So, a Louis Oosthuizen top five, I believe, is plus 600, 6-1. He came in second in the U.S. Open and lost to the best golfer in the world, John Rahm. I think he's going to be on top of the leaderboard, whether he wins or not. I think he's going to be fighting. He's going to be pissed off after the U.S. Open. So I'm going Louis Oosthuizen top five as well. I think that's like plus 600. But yeah. Look out for like Stewart Cink. See what his value is. Top 10, top five. The guy is dealing right now and he's already won the Open before in his life. So give him a chance.
Yeah. No, I don't hate it. And what if I told you I took Stewart Cink to win the dang thing?
Oh, Bob.
I got him at plus, I got him 131 to 1 odds.
Oh, my God. That's better than what I got.
Yeah, bro.
The hell, bro?
Keep an eye out. Dirty Mike, what do you got?
All right. So I picked three players. I have my Hail Mary.
Yes.
We'll start with that one. Going off with plus 45,000.
Jesus.
I love this.
Is Byung-Hun On.
Okay.
And it sounds funnier than it is because he actually goes by Ben On and is actually a very good tour player. And I'm at getting him at plus 45,000 blew my mind. Like, he's been around in majors before. This guy's not, like, a nobody. And to get him at plus 45,000, I couldn't pass it up. So that's my Hail Mary. Another one who it's close to a Hail Mary, but not quite. But I got it at plus 25,000 is Rafa Cabrera Bello. I was blown away that I got it at plus 25,000. So... I think he's a great golfer. He's from Europe. Europeans always do good in the Open. I mean, that's how they grew up playing golf. So for that, for plus 25,000, I had to put some on him. And then my realistic bet here for someone who actually has a chance, I got Cam Smith at plus 6,500. He's not one of the favorites, but I didn't want to put money on a favorite. I wanted to get someone who I got a little better value for. So at plus 6,500, I still think he's a really good golfer and has a really good chance this week. So I saw some value in that.
Nice. I absolutely love it. And I agree with you. I think this week is a week where it's not going to be very chalky. I don't think the favorites, and there's so much unpredictability, especially with the wind and the way the course is set up, that a lot of times it's bad to pick the chalky picks in this tournament, right? You're better off choosing a long shot.
Yeah, and I mean, just with all that value there, I mean, I feel like realistically, all three of those guys have a realistic shot at winning. And if they have a good week, they can be right there. And I'm getting great odds on all three.
Yep. Hey, Patty, will you do me a favor here?
Yep.
Will you look up the winners of the last seven majors? Because
last seven majors or last seven open championships?
Last seven majors total, every major. So the last seven, this is the seventh major in a year because of COVID and like the mini tournaments to make up and try to get the schedule back on track. This is the seventh major tournament in 1 year, which first of all is electric. I love that. And secondly, there have been, I don't think anyone has repeated in those 7 years. Pat, am I wrong there? Have you looked it up yet?
So this says 2020, but I don't think that is completely accurate. But so
you don't think that's accurate?
Here, I can tell you just based off of my knowledge. DJ won the Masters. Morikawa won
PGA Championship.
PGA last year.
Bryson won the U.S. Open.
Bryson won the U.S. Open, and then this year it was Mickelson at the PGA, Hideki at the Masters, and Rom just won the U.S.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. I'm kind of going along with your point. Like, I don't think there's going to be a repeat winner. I think it's going to be some fresh blood.
Yep.
And so, yeah, might be the year for the long shot. And I just think it's really fascinating that we haven't had a repeat winner in the last seven majors. That's nuts.
Yeah. I think it's so rare in general to have a repeat major. I mean, outside of Tiger Woods, I mean, no one else playing golf or that we've heard of in our lifetime has more than like six majors, like ever. So
yeah, but I mean, it seems like before, like Brooks would win a couple U.S. Opens in a row.
Yeah.
So it is rare, but it's just kind of nuts to me that in the last seven, it's all been like someone new every time.
Yep. And but anyways, I have a few that aren't best bets, but some people that I like this week. It's going to be another good weekend to be a Patrick. So Cantlay, Patrick Reed, and Matthew Fitzpatrick. I like all of those guys. And then if I can pull it up. So my buddy at work, shout out Luke. He had kind of a long shot bet for us. Lucas Herbert to place top 10 at plus 650 odds. I don't know anything about Lucas Herbert, but I know Luke knows his golf, so if that's kind of what he's going with, then I'm riding with him.
Interesting. Let's go, Luke.
And then I have a whole, I've kind of spread it out over a lot of long shots, so nothing too crazy, and I jumped on Ben on with my boy Dirty Mike there, but I'm kind of all over the place with these bets. I do have some more bets with these with the best bets, but do you guys have anything else you want to talk about or add before we move on?
I will save it for the best bet portion, but I would just say look at the top 10 value. It's really hard to pick the winner in golf, and kind of like I said, like no repeat winners, so like unless John Rahm just takes over, it's going to be really hard to pick who the winner is and get good value. So look at the top 10, look at the top five, look at the make the cut. That's more fun to bet on because you're watching it throughout the whole tournament as opposed to just like the last couple hours on Sunday.
Very good point. Very good point.
Sorry, one more thing for golf before we move on.
Yep, go on.
I say let the wind blow, and for all you youngins out here, this is what true golf is. So get ready for an enjoyable weekend.
There you go. It's going to be playing like the Open out there. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it never gets old.
So let's review best bets for Monday. Your boy here went 0-4, but not a big deal. A lot of the bets for the All-Star break were a crapshoot with no real way to know what will happen. I don't care what Diz says, but we will get it back tonight and this weekend.
It's disgusting.
Diz, come on. How did your best bets do?
Yeah, thanks for the transition there. I went 2-0. I absolutely nailed it. If anyone listened to the pod, I said Shohei Ohtani should not be favorited in the home run derby because he hasn't taken batting practice all year long. He loses literally in the first round. So absolutely nailed that. And then I said if I was going to bet on an outcome, I would bet Pete Alonso because repeat winners happen all the time.
and he absolutely dominated. So I nailed that one. And then I said it was absolutely heinous that the American League were underdogs against the National League because they've won literally 7 All-Star games in a row. So I capitalized on that as well. So I went 2-0. I'm all the way back. I'm feeling dangerous. I'm feeling sexy. Let's go.
Well, I can tell you, you definitely look sexy. So,
oh, thanks, Bob.
Good on that. But also, so I actually didn't really lose money on the Home Run Derby, even though my best bets lost. So you could bet on the individual matchups of each round. In the first round, all of the favorites were at like minus 200 or higher. So I literally just bet the underdog in every single matchup, and three of the four hit, and so I made money.
It's easy like, money.
No one knows anything about the All-Star game, and I think people just jump on the favorites blindly.
I think you're forgetting about your boy Diz.
Yeah, I know. But and then I also bet on a righty to win the Home Run Derby at plus money, so that came home for me. And then over 519.5 feet longest home run, that came home for me. So it was actually a pretty profitable Home Run Derby for me, despite the fact that I didn't hit any of my best bets.
Well, good for you, Bub. Wasn't trying to shit on you. Just had to toot my own horn a little bit there. Shout out Javier. Javier texted me and said, great pod. You absolutely nailed it. So shout out Javier for the respect.
My boy, Javier. Keep it coming,
still,
bro.
Still need to get him on the pod sometime.
Absolutely. Once, and maybe we do it for like some of the Olympic soccer stuff, or maybe when the EPL comes back in a month, maybe we get our boy on.
Absolutely. Footy specialist.
All right, let's go into the best bets of the night. So I have 3 best bets, and they're all for the Open. My first one, Rory to win the Open at plus 2,200. Now, I don't usually like betting on Rory, but I saw a couple stats and it just made me have to take him. So Rory missed the cut last week at the Scottish Open. Usually going into majors, you don't want to choose people that are in bad form. However, 8 of the 9 last times that Rory missed the cut, he finished top 20 in the following start. And in 3 of them, he actually won that following start. So I am going with Rory to win at plus 2,200. And then my side sauce bet of the night is Rory to finish top 20 at minus 105 odds.
Love it.
Now, these next two, you're not going to love, Diz. And I know, I just know you're
not going
to love. If
you say an under, I'm going to leave the chat.
So I'm going John Rahm and Justin Thomas to both miss the cut.
I don't hate that. You probably get insane value. I think it's really dumb for you to say John Rahm's going to miss the cut because he's probably the best golfer in the world right now.
Correct.
But you can save it with the value. What's the value on that beast?
So first off, let me give you the stats. I'll give you the value of both.
Okay.
So both players have played in 8 Open championships. They have combined for 0 top 10s and 3 missed cuts. You can get...
So wait. Of the 16 that they've played, they've hit 13 cuts? Or they've both missed 3?
I don't know. I didn't look super into
this. Because that's kind of a dramatic difference. 13 of 16 making the cut at a major is pretty damn good, especially with John Rahm being the best he's ever been. But go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to shit on you.
But John Rahm, who's the betting favorite to win... you can get him to miss the cut at plus 570. And then Justin Thomas, you can get him at plus 300.
It's good value. Do we have a weather forecast? Is Patty a meteorologist? The Open, obviously, it's Lynx Golf. The Condities are what make it hard.
Did you say the Condities?
Yeah, that's slang for conditions.
I really like that a lot.
I know, yeah. Appreciate that. I was ready for Mike to make fun of me. But
I'm laughing. I was just on mute.
Okay, appreciate that. It depends on the conditions because anyone can miss the cut if it's gale force winds. I don't really know the weather outlook this week, but the value's there. I'm fine with it, Pat. I'm not going to leave the Discord.
Well, the weather is actually changing like every single hour, so no one really knows what it's going to look like. But
that's the open, fellas.
Yeah, exactly. Dirty Mike's right there. But it was just too. I saw another good stat, and I'm like, I have to take it. You know, I'm a sucker for a good random stat.
Absolutely.
But those are my best bets. So, Diz, what do you got for your best bets?
Okay, so I forgot to mention that my Martingale. So my two bets from last time were American League to beat the National League, which hit. And then it was also the Home Run Derby Super Boost, length of the longest home run to be over 519.5. And I believe Juan Soto hit one 520.
That's correct, yes.
So that one hit for me, which is huge. So huge. All my Martingales are clean. I get a reset with the Martingales. I'm up like $70. I'm like 5 Martingales away, depending on how much I win and the value I get, to net over 100 just by Martingales, which is huge. So 2-0 there. But yeah, my current bets, I have 2. And I'm loving the over 221 at the Suns Bucks tonight. And Pat, I know NBA isn't my specialty, but I did some simple mathematics, okay? You're going to like this. I know you're a finance guy.
Yep, lay it on me. I can't wait.
Last game, the Bucks won 120 to 100, correct?
Correct.
So that is a total of 220.
Yes.
When the Suns shoot better than atrociousness, that's not a word, atrocity?
Sure.
When the Suns can actually hit, like, can hit a shot, game one was 226, game two was 223. So the average of all those, correct me if I'm wrong, Patty, is 223. 223 is the average of those three. It blows my mind that the over should be 221. So I'm just simply doing the mean. I think the over underline should be 222.5. Mm-hmm. And I just get $5 to win $5 if it's over 221. So I'm taking that. I'm locking that in. We're hoping for points. I'm going to be asleep before the game ends. But
correct.
Is what it is. Wake up, check to see if I won. And then I have another Martingale starting fresh with a $5 Martingale. It was a boost, Rory McIlroy, Louis Oosthuizen, and DeChambeau all to make the cut from minus 100 to plus 100. So I'm pretty juiced about that. Something to watch like Friday, kind of like I said, so I don't just watch the tournament Sunday at like 5 p.m. I'll have to be watching it Friday to see if that hits. So those are my two best bets. We'll know if the Suns Bucks hits tonight, and we'll have to wait till Friday to see if I'm going to hit the other one.
Yep. All right. Dirty Mike, I assume you already kind of did your best bets. So you don't really have anything?
I don't do best bets, but I told you my best bets.
Okay, right on.
Patty, I want to say one more thing. Sorry, I forgot. I'm not chalking it as a best bet because it's the value honestly scares me. Seems like a trap bet. On FanDuel, they have player props for like the first hole birdie or better tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And the value is insane. And I looked at it. The first hole is a 440-yard par 4, which for a professional golfer is a driver and a wedge.
Mm-hmm.
Rory McIlroy birdie or better on the first hole tomorrow is plus 750. So $2, whoa, $2 to win 15. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe it's the hardest hole on the course for some reason. But the value is insane. Not even just Rory. Just if you guys have FanDuel, please go check that out. The value is insane. You can't bet on every golfer. It's like a select five. But Rory was one of them. And $2 to win 15 to birdie the first hole.
Yeah.
Seems like a good value.
Definitely taking that.
Yep.
Someone smarter than you guys made this bet. It's a trap. Don't do it.
Definitely could be a trap bet.
So I'm looking at these other ones, Diz. You can get Patrick Reed at plus 900 to birdie or better on hole one. So something
that's what
about
I'm saying, dude.
Something at hole one's not right.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe I don't know well enough, but like the value's too good. I didn't even want to do the research. I just wanted to bet it.
I think birdies are just going to be few and far between. People are going to be taking irons and stuff off the tee, and so they're going to have 6 irons into these greens instead of wedges like they're used to on the PGA Tour.
I want to say, and I'm going to look this up right now. I want to say the winner the last time that this tournament was here scored like minus like five or something crazy. Yeah, exactly. So Darren Clark, when he won this back in 2011 at the same golf course, he finished at minus five and he won by three strokes.
Yeah, but you got to think, like, that's more than five birdies because, like, you bogey a shit ton at the Open because of the conditties. So, like, that's, like, that's probably 10 birdies, five bogeys, if I'm being honest about it. So, hey, just saying, plus 750, plus 900, just a juicy value.
Might be worth a sprinkle.
Yeah, but those 10 birdies, eight of those are on the par fives.
I believe there's only two par fives on the course, but. Either way.
Yeah, but you play him four times.
Look at this guy. Coming out of the woodworks. That's why we need Dirty Mike on the pod.
Did Mike just show up the finance and accounting major?
No, he just did simple math.
Guys, I'm not stupid.
I didn't suggest you were. That's on me.
All right. So it's time for the Hail Mary, same game parlay of the day. You can do a same game parlay for the NBA Finals game tonight on FanDuel. $1 to win. What are you guessing, Diz?
It's a same gamer?
Yep.
How many bets? Aren't you limited on bets, or can you do as many as you want?
10 bets. I could have gone more if I wanted.
Holy. I'm going to say 843.
Nope, too juicy. $1 to win $616.96.
Nice.
All right, now you're going to have to follow me. This is going to be a lot of words, and it's all over-unders pretty much for points, rebounds, assists, or three-pointers made. So you'll want to pay attention to the name, the over-under, and then the number that it is set at, because these lines do move on occasion, and you don't want to accidentally pull a Javier and, bet the under at 220 and then bet the over at 221.5 and then get possibly hosed because you thought you had an arbitrage opportunity, but you really don't. So, all right, here we go. Pat Connaughton, over 7.5 points. DeAndre Ayton, over 16.5 points. Bobby Portis, over 6.5 points. Brooke Lopez, over 4.5 rebounds. Mikal Bridges, under 4.5 rebounds. Giannis, under 5.5 assists. Cam Johnson, over 8.5 points. PJ Tucker, over 5.5 points. Brooke Lopez, over 1.5 made threes. And then Devin Booker to score 30-plus points.
Lopez for the win.
Lopez, baby. I wanted to throw that in there so bad, but I was wondering if people like wouldn't know or recognize it. But if you noticed, there's a lot of there's a lot of over point totals. So I'm kind of leading the over with you as well.
Feels good. Feels good when you take the over, Patty.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. But we'll see what happens. Anything you boys need to get off your chest before we wrap this up?
You always say this. I feel like I should always be prepared for this part.
If you don't have anything, you don't have anything. Don't force it. I'm just, it's kind of a way for us to wrap up the show, and I let you guys air any grievances that you guys have.
You know, I actually have a great one. I was ice cold, and I think part of it was I was betting on games that I wasn't going to watch. I watched, like, the first couple innings of the All-Star game. Watched the AL get a lead before I went to bed. I watched the end of the home run derby. I would just say, like, understanding that I'm not going to make a lot of money gambling, just remember that the point of gambling for a lot of us, it is for me at least, it makes sports more fun to watch. So bet on stuff you're going to watch. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably don't make money off gambling. You probably don't. You probably don't gamble for a living. So bet on stuff you can watch for the most part. Obviously, if there's great value or you love something that Patty or Mike or myself say, then take it. But bet on stuff you watch. And honestly, I think your record's going to be better. I was betting on stuff I wasn't watching. I was ice cold. Then I bet on stuff that I was watching. And it not only did I win, but it was more fun to watch. I think that's the most important thing to remember.
Spoken like a champion.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love it. But does that mean, Diz, you're going to wake up at 1:30 in the morning Eastern Standard Time to watch the Open Championship?
That is not what that means. I am not going to watch Rory McIlroy's first hole, most likely. But like I said, like the Friday, the make cuts and everything, like that's something that's going to be fun to watch throughout the day. And yeah, just wanted to throw that reminder out there because I forgot about it and I went ice cold.
Hey, absolutely love it. You know, sometimes you need a reminder of things, and it's definitely a good thing to do. So, all right, everyone, thank you again for listening. We appreciate you all. You guys are the lifeblood of this podcast. We can't do it without you guys. We will have an episode on Friday, Celeb Bet Friday, as always. We'll update on how the Open Championship is going. We'll update on the NBA playoffs. And baseball will be back in full swing as well. So it should be a loaded Friday episode. And don't forget to send us your celeb bets. Thank you all for listening, and have a good Wednesday.
I miss you, Sunshine.